Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I found a new job.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we continue with our restaurant movie series. This time, we are doing the movie Waiting.
Waiting!
2005 Waiting.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Classic. As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVillo.
What's up, people? How are we all doing out there today?
So, on the rewatch and rewatch of this movie, I'm liking it more and more. But I didn't really like it that much.
Okay.
But it's a number one movie that you think of when it comes to restaurant movies.
Exactly.
So, you know, whereas Slammin' Salmon, I feel, has a good... is a good restaurant in the restaurant type of feel to it. You get to see what the hecticness is all about, mm-hmm. the inner workings, being slammed,
yep.
dealing with maniacs, dealing with, you know, certain types of coworkers and certain types of customers. Waiting deals with the...
personal aspects and
the
restaurant itself.
Correct.
It deals with the characters as a whole, and it brings out the personalities.
I think. And there's some big names in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have Dane Cook. You have Anna Faris, I believe.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Justin Long.
Absolutely.
I forgot his name, the manager, but he's in a lot of stuff. Actually, I saw him on the NFL show.
He is in a lot of stuff.
On Sunday, and I was like, man, that's the guy
from Waiting. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, he was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Chi McBride, you know, he was in...
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Gone in 60 Seconds, iRobot, things like that. You know, so there are a lot... It's... You don't really see that many...
Yeah.
And maybe they weren't as big back in 2005.
And I had read up on the director last night. So
okay.
Waiting was his first movie. He had worked in a restaurant in the mid-90s, mm-hmm. and he kind of wrote the screenplay and everything. He wrote that. He wrote the second Waiting. And then he...
Wait, there's a second one?
Yeah. Still Waiting. We might even throw it in the series eventually.
Okay. We'll is it good? That. Have you
it's,
seen it?
It's. I have seen it. It's.
Is it at least all right?
It's all right.
Okay, we can do it.
It's a sequel. It's not, you know.
No, but you never know.
Yeah, no. And I think you'll like it because it has some contrast. It's good to talk about.
See, a movie doesn't have to be great. It just has to be all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
You know, all right has, you want what we're looking for, elements. We want that flavor.
Exactly.
We want those insider things that we would recognize and other people would like, but, you know.
Yeah.
We know the deeper meaning and the connectivity of it.
Absolutely.
You know, so for those of you who have never seen Waiting, we don't do spoiler alerts for anything, you know, 2005.
Yeah, no.
But it centers around, I would say, three characters.
True.
The number one would be Justin Long's character, which is Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And also Monty, who's Ryan Reynolds. And then the trainee.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a training day, pretty
exactly.
much. Exactly. But he doesn't really... He's central as far as he goes through the whole thing, but it doesn't run through his story.
He's instrumental he doesn't really talk that much, but he's instrumental in presenting the way the flow of the restaurant is.
Yeah, and they don't let him talk.
Exactly.
They keep interrupting him.
Exactly.
And so we'll start, we'll go through this sequentially.
Yeah.
Right? And, okay. So as we go through the movie, and we'll tag team in on the different points that really hit home for us.
Yeah.
So it starts at a party.
Exactly.
You know?
And I love that about it.
Yes. And that's such a wild restaurant theme.
Exactly.
You know, I think maybe it captures
the essence of, you know, like we were talking about like youth and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it definitely captures that theme of the party and the idea of the youth and that age bracket that they're trying to portray in the movie.
True. So I think that's a very good point.
Yeah.
The age bracket. So that's going to remind me of my first restaurant.
That was the biggest thing when I first saw it. I was like, man, this brought me back to when I first started in a restaurant.
Yeah. and Shenanigans was the name of their restaurant. And let me tell you, that was a Bennigan's. From the plateware, from the layout, up, down, it's a Bennigan's. So, and they even mentioned it in the end credits.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
They had special thanks to and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, watch this movie a couple of times, you start to notice a few things, you know? And so, but it really took me back. So we're going to really look through the lens of this movie, the fact that it's, I mean, not that you can't throw parties, you know, now, but you don't have time as much when you have like grown folks stuff going on, you know? So it starts at a party, and then the following day, Dean wakes up. Girl in his bed who is his pseudo girlfriend that he doesn't really that he
hasn't claimed yet.
Yeah, he hasn't claimed her.
But obviously they have a connection.
They have a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a huge thing in a restaurant too, is you kind of have things, but you know, you're not sure if you're claiming, you don't know if you want to be caught up in the gossip or this, that, and the third.
It's an early thing.
Yeah, it's the early thing.
Yeah. So he gets up and does he go to, you know, I'm thinking he gets up and he goes to his mom's house.
He does.
For lunch or something that before work. And she starts giving him the business.
Him the business. The murder game.
Yeah.
And another thing with youth and being in a restaurant, you know, the family kind of saying, hey, what are you doing with your life?
When are you going to get a real job?
When are you going to get a real job? All the above.
She's giving it to him. Oh, Chet. You know, I spoke to Chet's mom. Well, didn't you guys have the same classes in high school? The same honors classes? Yes, mom. You know, this kid.
The whole back and forth. She's laying into him.
Not in
a bad way, but like that concerned mom, like you don't want to hear it. Like, what are you doing with your life speech?
It's like, well, Chet's parents must be real proud of him.
Yeah,
you know, because he graduated, like, you know,
he got his bachelor's. He did the straight out of high school, straight to the 4 years.
Yeah.
He's about to start his life. And which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, you know.
Everybody has their path.
Everybody has their path.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's why we do this podcast, because some of us chose a path that, you know, is viable way to make a living.
Absolutely.
But people can look at it, you know, sideways sometimes.
Absolutely.
There it is. So Dean leaves, and cut to Monty.
Monty, because Monty was with him at the house, and he's kind of looking at them. Was he at the mom's house with him or no?
No.
Okay,
no.
They cut to Dean. They cut to Monty. Is he going into the restaurant or?
Yeah, he's going.
He's going into work.
He's going into work, and Dean shows up. They kind of walk in. They walk in street clothes though.
Yes.
And for me, I've never had a job where I had to walk in with street clothes on.
Get dressed. My first job, my first two jobs, I was able to.
Okay.
Very similar to like them, because my uniform was jeans. And a shirt that they, you know, either that one place they gave it to you, and the other shirt was, I got it from a local cleaners.
Okay.
So we were able to, and we had lockers and everything, so we were able to get our shirts and kind of get dressed at work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get dressed at work, and training day starts.
Yeah.
Right? So.
So he first comes in, he meets, the manager's already talking to the kid.
Yes.
And then as Monty comes in, he goes, this is Monty. And then the manager kind of passes him off to Monty.
Yeah.
Hey, show him the ropes around here. You know, how, you know, blah, blah,
when
blah.
When he gets busy, we'll have him watch a training video.
Exactly.
You know. and then Monty does something that's very important, where he cuts him off. He asks him, have you ever waited tables before? And he says, you know what? Never mind. Because in either case, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Right? His job is to show him how we do things here. right?
Yep.
So they have this weird game called the penis showing game. It doesn't really have a name, but that's what
that's pretty much what the dishwasher calls it,
you know, the penis showing game. And I realize it's really a metaphor. Mm-hmm. You know, the penis showing game is just a metaphor for how this restaurant operates. Right. And every restaurant has its quirks.
Yeah.
And this one has its quirks with this penis showing
exactly.
game. And that's a uniting thread throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's their game that brings them together.
True. So then Dean comes in and he's kind of bummed.
Yeah.
Right.
You can see it on his face.
And so he's talking to Monty and you get a sense of, you know, they're friends,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And it's a very social job that we have, you know,
you come
in and you start catching up. You saw this person yesterday.
Last night.
Okay. Exactly. In their case, yes, it was last night, you know, and so he spit
it out.
You know, so he ends up talking to Bishop about it. Mm-hmm. You know, what should I do? And does he?
Who's Bishop? Is Bishop?
Bishop's the black dishwasher.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm mistaken.
Dean talks to Bishop later. Later.
Bishop talks to the trainee.
Yes.
You know,
so they go into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Monty brings him to the kitchen, and the first thing he does, he introduces him to Louis Guzman.
Yes.
And he's like the head chef or whatever, and he's giving him the rundown of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he kind of takes over, and he's the one who teaches him about the game, like itself, like the core rules of the game.
Yeah, the chef.
Yeah, the chef does. Okay, so...
He breaks it down.
Exactly. And then from there, I think he gets passed on to the dishwasher slash Chi McBride.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so... What I do like about this movie is that it starts to weave these characters
and their
relationships.
Chips together, right? Exactly.
So their relationships at work, obviously, and their relationships outside of work. And so you see Calvin's character. He's mm-hmm. sort of like a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, and then a little bit later, we're going to get into the different characters of every restaurant almost, you know. And I feel like every restaurant, you know, people slide into these different types of characters, you know. But one character is the person that bitches all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of nuts. And that's Natalie.
The bitchy waiter.
The bitchy waiter. I'm sure that's just a moniker, but he seems very nice. At least he was nice to me as we loosely communicated once.
Big shout out.
And so she comes in hot. She's like, why the hell do we have four extra people on at this time? Dan's got, the manager needs to take his head out of his butt. And she's like,
we ain't gonna make no money.
Oh my gosh.
Off the rip.
Shift just
saying.
Started Shift, and she it, is it, yeah. wrecking it. So as Dean struggles with his path, then we see Monty and his relationship with his mom.
Yeah.
Because Dean and Monty, they...
I think they're roommates pretty much. I think they live
Are
together.
They?
I mean, I'm 90% sure that they're in this...
I think so, because that's where they throw the parties.
Exactly where they throw the parties.
I think it's their house.
And he kind of does a little thing saying, hey, I saw da-da-da leave this morning. You know what I mean? So like... I think that he knew that she was there.
Yeah.
The girl. So in my head, it made me feel like they're roommates, the two of them.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're at dinner with Monty's mom.
Yeah.
And they're just barbs throwing back and forth between them.
They throw jabs. Yeah. They're throwing knives across the room.
So what I took from that is that, you know, whether you're Dean or Monty, you're in this job and your parents don't quite understand.
Stand. Exactly.
You know? And I believe that a lot of us who are in the business have gone through stuff like that.
Oh, of course. You know? It's almost a coming of age kind of thing.
That's true. It is. And the difference is Dean was very, you know, cordial to his mom and Monty was just insulting her back.
Yeah. They have that kind of relationship that you could tell, like, they're just very... Yeah, like the fangs are out all the time.
True.
But she gives it as good as they both take it very well.
Yes.
They give it really good to each other, and I like it.
Yeah. it was a funny part.
Yeah.
So they go, and do they have a pre-shift meeting? They have a pre-shift meeting.
They do, though, yeah.
Outside by the dumpster.
By the dumpster, yeah.
And then this is where he gets into this, you know, the manager speak.
Yes.
You know, he's talking about, you know, hey, you know, do this with your coworkers, and the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra.
Yep.
You know, and then he pulls Dean aside. Hey, I want to talk to you.
That's when he goes to the office.
Yeah, he goes into the office and magically an opening is happening throughout the company. I want to offer you and extend you the assistant manager position here. Boom.
And so at that point, the bitchy waiter, or what's her name?
It's
in the movie, because you just said it a minute ago.
I did, but I forgot. Yeah.
Natalie.
Yeah.
She overhears. So before he even finishes the conversation, it has spread through the entire restaurant like wildfire,
yeah,
that Dean might be taking this job. So they already know. He hasn't said a word.
He hasn't even processed it yet.
He's not even processing it. And it's already flown through the restaurant.
Restaurant walls have ears.
Yo, all the time. And I feel like that's a key component in it as well.
Oh, yeah. Like, without a doubt.
I can be off, okay, and know what's going on in my restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Like, you hear news.
Yo, it's like a news buzz flashes through your phone real quick.
Monty even says it. He says, man, people on their day off even know about this.
Exactly.
He's like, how do you even know? Because he confronts him. He's like,
yeah.
You think about taking the manager? He's like, wait, what?
What?
You know? I was keeping that on the DL. But there he has this this opportunity, and he wanted this job as an intermediary.
Yeah, he was going there while he's going to college and kind of just finding himself and feeling himself. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that's in his mind, that's exactly how he looks at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but once you're in the business, I think most of us go into it like that. And then once you're in the business, you can kind of see, you start getting cash, you know, you're
getting stuck.
You got, yeah, you know, cash rules, cream, baby. You know,
it's not so little that you'll quit.
Exactly.
And it's not so much that you
you give away your dreams.
Correct.
Yeah. So you know, as you focus in life, like I think both of us, we've both gone to school. Mm-hmm. We both kind of cater towards our dreams, and we have stuff outside of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I think for us, it just gave us the ability to do what we want to do while focusing on our dreams.
True.
But for other people, it's more of like a rest stop.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I think you should use this, you know, this industry for what you need it for.
Exactly.
Mostly the biggest asset is time.
Yeah.
You know, but then it offers you a lot more.
True.
You know, you have the flexibility, mm-hmm, if you're going to school on day or night, exactly, or whatever the case may be. You want to put some money away. You want to pay for your own schooling, blah, 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 blah. Time, flexibility, mm-hmm, cash money. That's what it's there for. No one's saying that you should be a waiter for the rest of your life. You can be, depending on the place where you are.
And you can definitely grow and make really good money in this business.
Yeah.
There's money to be made.
Yeah.
So we're not telling you, we're not giving you a negative or a positive. We're giving you the both sides of the coin.
Correct. Yeah. We have no dreams to sell you.
Absolutely.
We're just saying that, you know, have a goal and go after it.
Absolutely.
Achieve it. And it's very possible. So we come to the point where we should probably talk about those characters.
Yeah, you know,
not necessarily in the movie, but in restaurants.
How they flow.
Yeah, so those of you who may or may not be, you know, have ever worked in a restaurant, you know, restaurants tend to fill these jobs, and they're usually filled by similar characters, right?
So I like Monty as the cool guy.
Yes. Monty's like cool guy. Okay, so let's first identify the restaurant characters and then fit the movie characters
to
into
the
them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I find it important to know that there's cool guy in a restaurant, and what's he like? What's cool guy like?
I mean, cool guy is, you know, he's kind of there. He's chilling. He's very friendly with everybody in the staff. He's usually, you know, he's outgoing enough to where he makes what he needs to make.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not stressed out by any means.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He enjoys what he does. Even if he hates what he does, you would never know that he hates it.
Yeah. Magnetic personality.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody necessarily hates what they do.
No, I don't think so.
You know, if you get to that hate point,
yeah,
you will leave. Yeah,
yeah.
You will leave. So there's Top Guy.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not sure. I think Top Guy is filled by Monty. And,
as well, yeah.
Yeah, Monty fills Cool Guy and Top Guy. But most restaurants have a Top Guy.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that knows how everything works.
Like your head trainer or whatever you want to call
correct.
It.
Correct.
He gets the system. He gets the whole.
Correct.
He gets all the shenanigans in one shot.
Yes. So it's good. Good. I see what you did there. But Cool Guy and Top Guy usually aren't the same.
True.
Right? Because Top Guy tends to, you know, overachieve a little bit.
Yes,
you know,
they he's got the overachiever juice.
Yeah, yeah, the overachiever juice. They go above and beyond,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Come in a little bit early.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. So then hostesses are usually younger.
Yep.
Because the job doesn't pay that. They
exactly.
usually don't pay hosts.
It's just above minimum wage.
Yeah.
It's a starter job. They're
yeah.
usually in high school or
they're usually very
or
cute.
Very cute or starting college is something that, you know, like a summer mm-hmm. job for them. And, you know, something that their parents get their parents off their back. It's something they say they have a job, like they pay for their cell phone bill or their little bit of gas.
Restaurant tends to handle them with kitty gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Meanwhile, they're messing up your money
all
and you want to choke them out. But again, I say it depends on the style of the restaurant because some restaurants have very capable hosts.
Absolutely.
And they get paid a little bit longer mm-hmm. And they are filled by older ladies that...
Yeah.
That need that extra time
exactly.
and that extra money.
Yeah,
you know?
They might have a regular career, but this is still their part time gig. But they're educated. They understand what's going on. Maybe they worked in a restaurant a lot longer, and they just at that point in their life where they just
yes
they get it, but they don't want to deal with the stress of the other stuff.
Yes, and it's hard to fill 40 hours of hostessing anyway.
It's not a 40 hour gig.
No, I at least I don't believe so.
Most places, you're not going to need a host. Like if you have a day, you're not going to need that overwhelming amount of that kind of host. You know, maybe one during the day, at most two at dinner.
Yeah.
And that's really it. You know what I mean?
It depends on the place.
Though,
it's like two or three. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So within the wait staff, we talked about Cool Guy. We talked about Top Guy. There's always that
complainer.
There's the complainer.
The complainer.
There's the complainer and there's the, I don't know why I have this, so I could be wrong, but there's usually an older woman type of
yeah.
of
the
waitress,
mother.
Right?
The mother slash, but she might even be the complainer.
She might be the complainer, but it doesn't always, it's not
like,
always the same.
But it's still the mother kind of symbol.
Yes.
Like she's kind of like, hey.
The mother hen.
Yeah. She's almost like the top guy, but she's not quite, you know what I mean? It's like they kind of have that co-marriage, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually somebody different. They usually have the mother hen of the group.
Yeah.
And the complaint is usually that person, you're just like, oh my gosh, yeah. nothing's ever good enough for them.
Exactly.
You know? They complain with a loaf of bread under their arm. Ridiculous.
Yeah. You're quintessential hot girl.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There's always the hot girl in the restaurant. Whether,
yes.
Even if she's not super duper hot, like to your
hottest
standard.
Girl in Home Depot.
Exactly. You know, there's always one. Okay?
There's always one. Yeah, there is good one.
And then there's that like, I don't want to say kind of like what Calvin's character is, like the very nice, chill, but
you can, the eager beaver.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Boom.
That's the overachiever right there, though.
No, but he's
no.
Not, I mean, because. Because he's not the top dog. So yeah, I guess you call him the overachiever, but I like the eager beaver better.
Okay.
Because they're not a true, they're not a true top dog.
Yeah, no,
I mean?
But there's top dog, remember?
Yeah.
And there's overachiever who's
yeah.
not top dog.
Exactly. So yeah.
Yeah. Then they're the bussers.
The bussers.
Usually younger.
Absolutely.
Younger males, younger
mm-hmm.
boys.
Yeah, same kind of like the
busser. The opposite of the host.
Exactly. It's usually the host are girls. I'm not trying to, but. We're gonna follow the script. Usually the hosts are girls,
yeah.
and the bussers are boys.
There's
and
exceptions. There's yeah. girl bussers and there's male hosts.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, there's definitely exceptions to the
yeah.
point.
Oh yeah,
but you know, like that's usually how it goes. You know what I mean? Like the boys are lifting. You know, they got to lift the heavier stuff. The girls are looking pretty and kind of taking you to your table. You're the first person they meet in the restaurant.
Yeah,
and that's what you want.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And then you got the younger men that are you got to take out the trash. You got to do the things that as men that we expect of you.
I don't know what you just said.
Hey, when you were a kid, okay, your mom was like, take out the trash. There was no question. You're the boy of the house and the man of the house. You're taking out the trash.
Yes.
Okay? That's what the buster's doing for us. Same idea.
Okay. I mean, you're not wrong. I must have zoned out because something didn't sound right. So we did the bussers. So now two more categories.
We have the bartender. And we need, I remember. So the bartender's actually really hot.
The bartender's very hot. Okay.
I remember you watched Entourage?
Mm-hmm.
So Sloane is one of the bartenders in the movie, Emmanuelle Sarkey. And she's very, very pretty. And
yeah,
she actually plays either bisexual or she's on the other fence completely, isn't she, in this one?
She played the lesbian. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Then yeah.
Yeah.
She's.
Yeah.
So the bartenders are a whole separate shebang a bang.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they don't give them the true, like they don't really dabble in that much.
They don't really, because you can make a whole movie about bartending.
Absolutely.
You know, it's which they did.
Of course they did.
Cocktails.
They are. Yeah. Cocktails. What's the one with the girls in the bar and Coyote Ugly?
Yeah.
You know?
They deal with so much. I mean, not so much. They still have, it's the same industry, but they deal with a different slice of it.
Absolutely.
And that slice is, it's a big slice, but you can dive into that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like its own.
It's its own
universe.
Its
own universe. For sure.
It really is.
You're dealing with stuff that waiters never have to deal with, like inventory and guests, and you're more, you know, getting, you're dealing with the managers more directly than
absolutely.
We do.
Yeah, it's a whole different realm.
God bless them.
God bless them. We might even have to go check out one of those movies, one of those bartender movies, and throw it into our movie series.
Word, I like that.
Yeah.
I like where your head's at.
You see?
And now the kitchen staff. Talk about whole universe.
Oh.
I mean, I started out in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
So in the movie, it's Louis Guzman. It's Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Chi McBride. He's I still kitchen part of the kitchen staff.
Oh, without a doubt.
So you just name those three people and you can see the personalities in that kind of idea.
Yes.
Like there is your head chef. There's your line cook who's, you know, usually lots of fun, and these guys have a ball back there, whether you know it or not.
They eat fire.
They do.
Okay. They eat fire. They're circus folks.
Yeah, they are.
So they're not like, okay, they complain differently. Servers complain, but they're weak.
Yeah.
Okay, the complaints are weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's first world problems.
Yeah.
Okay. And the kitchen, they like what they want. Like they like, you know, they like their space. They like their things
they
way
like
they want
people.
It.
Okay.
Oh, they certainly don't want
they
to
don't
deal
like dealing with
people.
They
don't want to deal. It's like office space, you know?
Yeah.
I deal with the customers so the cooks don't have to.
Exactly.
But yeah, so, and this movie does a good job of showing the separation, like when they're on the line and, hey, I need this or whatever, and they have their own concerns and they're pissed off for, you know, seemingly the same thing, but, you know, you can tick them off, but, you know.
Exactly.
They work very hard.
They do, though. They definitely work hard. Like when, like, in the kitchen, something gets sent back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you see how like they're like giving? They all go, oh, like it's like a big hurrah, like
and,
really.
And there's something I want to talk to you about in a little bit. So we're gonna you know, get this back on track, okay? So we cut back to Dean, and now the restaurant's starting to pick up.
Yeah,
there are customers in there. We see how the girls deal with their customers. Mm-hmm. Some flirt, some dealing with Karens, and
oh yeah,
and Dean's dealing with this guy that's, you know, not necessarily difficult, but very condescending.
Very
and,
condescending.
You know, and he does him dirty.
Oh, super dirty.
He tips him badly, and Dean snaps.
2-on-60.
Was that what it was?
Yes.
So then he gives him the line, hey, man, here's your change. No, that's for you. He's like, nope, you obviously need it more than I do. and that shows up later in the movie. And so the man gets upset.
Oh, snaps. Goes into all hell breaks loose. The manager comes up front. And the manager's all like, what's the word? It's not like frail, but it's more like submissive.
Mm.
He becomes really submissive to the guests. as he's putting out a fire, so of course he's going to, but at the same time, he doesn't stand his ground at all. Like,
I don't know if it's submissive as much as apologetic.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So so this is deemed sort of like,
and Monty, you know, goes, and first thing Monty says to the train, he goes, see, right now, this is what you don't do.
Yeah, because Monty's cool guy. He's like, I'll never do that. You know, somebody walks out, he just, I mean, if he leaves me a bad tip, I just keep moving.
Yeah.
But I think it caught him on a bad day.
Yeah.
It caught him on a day that he dealt with his mom. He's exactly. getting this promotion, which is now in jeopardy because he just insulted a customer.
Absolutely.
The manager's giving it to him and saying, yo, you're blowing a golden opportunity. I need to know by the end of the day if you're going to take this promotion or not. What is wrong with you? Tighten up.
Lock it up.
Yeah, lock it up. So he's continuing to struggle with his career choices.
Exactly.
You know, and so he goes out. He's like, oh, it never happened again. And he has a table. It's starting to get busier and busier. Now the trainee's watching his video.
Yep.
And Luis Guzman is playing his little game. And he's like, and there are games within the busy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We did a show on shenanigans, not shenanigans, because that's the name of the movie, but how do we put it? Basically, having fun with coworkers.
Exactly.
And doing pranks and things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we do those things when we're busy.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yo.
We don't do them when we're bored.
You got to get them while you're busy. That's the only way, yo.
That's when it's fun.
Yes.
You can break them down.
Exactly.
and so he, where am I?
Okay, so right at this point, so we're in the middle of the rush, okay? The kid's in the kitchen. The manager's in the window.
Okay, so I remember what I was going to say. Dean goes out and takes care of the gentleman, and it reminded me that you don't use a pen, and
yes.
the guys remarked and said, hey, you're not writing this down. He's like, oh.
I got it.
You have the Caesar salad with the toast and da-da-da-da-da. You have the well-done steak, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, I get it. You're very good at what you do.
It's like a six top, and he gets to like four people in it.
Yeah.
And then by the way, he goes, I like you. The guy goes, yeah.
Yeah. And we did a show on pen or no pen, and we know that Danny doesn't use a pen.
I do not, yes.
I'll write a water down. I don't care. I'm just lazy like that. You know?
And then from there, right around that same time, so we have this lot in restaurants as a whole. So the manager comes in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The complainer is in there, and she's watching the manager fumble over these tickets and start to just, he's grabbing things. He's not really looking.
Messing it
up. Oh, yeah. He has like four tickets in his hand. He's like, I'm about to sell the, yeah. And she sees this and she just, get out the way. She slides in there and she's like taking over completely. Like,
yeah.
Just get out the kitchen. Go on the front. Like, you can tell that it's driving her crazy.
Yeah.
Which I get it. You know, it would.
Definitely. And another struggle in the restaurant business, in some restaurants, certainly in this style, is when he's like, I need birthday singers.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
And they go out and they sing for, it's my grandson's birthday.
And you got to grab everybody. And
yeah.
They
everybody's busy though. Yeah,
of course they are. That's the only time they need you. Okay.
That is true. You know, come on now.
I just got double set. I got six drinks in my hand. Can you come sing? What?
Yeah.
Eye roll.
You should, because, you know, when you need it.
Yeah.
You
thank
don't.
God, I don't have to sing a birthday song anymore, yo.
Oh, same, bro. Same.
We call it I call it a candle in a day, yo.
It's so much pressure. And then they say, oh, you're going to sing. I look at them. Then I don't sing.
I don't sing.
Sometimes I kind of mumble. But I just like light it and
yeah.
Once they start singing, I slink into the shadows like Homer in the bushes.
Absolutely. You got stuff to do, yo.
Yo, yeah. I got stuff to do.
You light the candle. And my whole thing, I say, hey, I provide you with the wish, okay, on your special day.
You provide the wish? What are you, a genie?
Yes. Because without that candle, there's no magic thing to rub. That's the magic utensil, yo.
I just say everybody deserves to blow out a candle on their birthday.
Boom.
And you know, I light the candle, I say happy birthday, they start singing, and I kind of slink away. I don't
turn right there, but
I let them get a couple of bars in, and I'm like, bop! I'm out.
So early in the movie,
mm-hmm.
We kind of missed this, but I'm going to bring it back to it because it goes back to something else.
Word.
So early in the movie, when Monty comes in, he's flirting with the host, and you could tell they have a great rapport, and you know, like,
The underaged.
The underaged. Okay. Yes. So they have a great little rapport and, Creepy. So, but it's not even that creepy because they're kind of in this.
Oh, no, it's not that creepy, but it was creepy when the manager was doing it.
So now that's what I'm about to get to.
Oh, my bad, my bad.
So you can see that, you know, that she's feeling him and what we're doing tonight and blah, blah, blah. And she goes to him. The first thing she says to Monty is, hey, you know, I turn 18 next week. Monty perks up and goes, well, I guess I should get it in now before you turn 18.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you could tell, and she lights up like a little butterfly. And then later on, and now we're back to where we're at in the movie. And now at this point in the movie, after she kicks, after bitchy waiter or whatever, the complainer, kicks him out of the kitchen, he goes to the host stand. So he can kind of feel important. And you can see him, and this is the older manager, Dan.
Yeah.
And he's there, and he's kind of laying it on kind of thick. And you can see him throwing on the straight creepy status. Well, what are you doing?
Yeah, today? It's like, we should hang out.
And da-da-da-da-da. And, like, you can see all that. And then that's where it becomes creepy to me.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of creepy because she also was playing along.
She was, and I... But, you know, she was just milking the situation, which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I've seen plenty of hosts do that. He needed that. You could tell that the manager kind of needed to feel young for a second in his mind.
I guess so. So now Dean, it's starting to wind down. Dean consults with Bishop again, the dishwasher. And he's like, hey, I'm struggling with this, this choice and blah, 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 blah. And he tells them, he says, hey, you know, he gives him a parable about the restaurant that they're working in. He says, you got to create your own penis showing game.
Exactly.
In your life, basically, metaphorically speaking.
Because he was saying, like how he was saying, and he goes, well, when I'm guessing it was Louis Guzman's character, when he came into the restaurant, you know, sales were down, this, that, and the third, and
The
morale was down. He came up with a game that brought the morale up, sales went up, you know, and it makes sense. You got to have
Productivity went up.
You know, you got to have something that kind of keeps you moving.
Yeah.
Or it's not a good place. You don't feel like you have a good place to work at.
Yeah.
Now back to what you were saying, sir.
So then he's thinking about it. He's like, thank you. You know, I'll definitely, you know, think about it and figure this thing out. And so now it's towards the end of the night.
Yes.
They're starting to count their money, doing their side work. Did you notice Natalie, the complainer, when she was marrying ketchups?
No, I didn't check that out.
Yeah, it's like a second clip. Was it subtle? Yeah, she pans over in her. She's marrying ketchups, and she actually licks one of them.
She's such a dirty girl.
So what I really wanted to ask you, because this is prevalent throughout the movie, is that they mess with people's food all the time. They did it like 3 or 4 times.
Legit.
I don't understand it. So is that your experience?
No. I mean, and I think they were being a little extra because of, like, we didn't talk about the guest earlier from Justin Long's girlfriend. Remember, she got the straight Karen. You mentioned the Karen.
Okay.
But we didn't. That was the first time you really saw them.
Yeah, Karen, you know, she's really rude.
Super rude.
Shouldn't even call her Karen. This is worse than Karen, actually.
Yeah, she was.
Like, Karen would never do
that. She was Karen times five.
Yeah. And she sent her food back. And
she even told her, if it doesn't come out right, I'm going to send it back.
Yeah, that was kind of Karen like.
Yeah.
I was trying to be nice. So they met. That was the first time I think we saw them messing with the food.
Yes,
you know?
That
and
was.
They went through like several layers of messing.
No, they murdered her.
And so it was gross. Let us know. if you've ever witnessed, we don't want you to admit you did something, but if you've ever witnessed someone messing with other people's food.
And the monologue right there, right after it happens, is Monty goes, never mess with somebody. It says, never F with a person
who's handling your food. Correcto.
Okay. And it doesn't have to be the extreme that was in the movie, but yes, you should kind of think about those things. We're not saying we're going to drop your food on the floor or anything stupid like that, but at the same coin.
I think the biggest warning would be, you never know when someone's having a terrible day.
Yeah.
You know, and there have been tragic things that happen, and these moments add up.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, it's our responsibility that we handle food. I've been in the business for, call it 25 years, and I've seen someone.
See the 5-second rule?
I mean, early in my career, I've done the 5-second rule.
Okay. What about the 10-second rule?
No. I feel bad at that point. I feel bad after 6 seconds. I could tell you some stories,
I'm sure.
especially coming from, you know, I was on the line at first. And,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Terribly. I used to horrify my family with stories. Yeah, they're like, I'm never going out to eat again.
Oh, God.
But honestly, reach out to us. Let us know. We love hearing from you, and we do respond. Let us know what you've witnessed.
Do you have any horror stories?
You asking about me?
No, I'm talking about the
rest. Oh, yeah.
I'm co-signing with you.
Yes. let us know. If you're on Instagram, you can follow us on Instagram or just message us at The Modern Waiter Podcast on Instagram or themodernwaiter@gmail.com. And we love hearing from you. Let us know your stories about messing with people's food when you witness it, because I don't want to associate you with actually doing it.
Yeah, no.
But I know it happens. But so my larger point was, in my 25 years, I've only seen it 2, maybe 3 times.
Okay. Yeah. It's not, I think what, you know, like anything, it's a movie. You know what I mean? So they wanted to, they went that extra mile, but.
True. But it's like they went the extra mile because they did it to the Karen. And now we're to the movie, the point of the movie where.
Almost to close. We're at the closing
almost
part.
Almost to close.
Let's talk about that.
So yeah, let's talk about that.
So the kitchen's all cleaned up. Okay, it's like, it's a half an hour before you close.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody there. The rush is over. The kitchen's starting to clean up. They're getting everything nice and tight. Your host is, everybody's kind of looking at the clock at this point.
Three minutes to go.
You're making sure that nobody is parking their car in the parking lot almost. Like
Dean's closing.
He's the closer. 2 minutes now, somebody walks in the door.
No,
it's exactly three?
It was three. Because Guzman says, 3 minutes. And then the next thing.
The door opens.
You're not quite closed, are you? And it's Chet, the dude that Dean's mom was talking about.
Exactly. Man, sits down with a date.
So they the kitchen was. So those of you who have never worked in a kitchen, when the kitchen staff starts to clean up, you better not be ringing stuff in.
Exactly.
Because they're breaking down the line, which means not only are they cleaning, not only are they draining, not only are they putting things, wrapping things, putting them into different pans and things like that, the sauces that make components in dishes are either thrown out or put away.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the utensils, the toppings, the everything. So to make one or two meals 5 minutes before close, they got to go back in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said. Well, we're open till we're open, which is true. But I also present to you what real life is like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're dealing with people. People. Exactly.
Yeah. And so I stepped on you when you said Chet comes in.
Oh, yeah. So Chet comes in and then he sits at the table. He has a date with him. And, you know, so Justin Long kind of makes he kind of looks down and he makes the, you know, assumption of, and now he's even more like.
He's like this freaking guy.
Yeah.
You know.
The host runs into the kitchen. I'm sorry.
Oh, and they're like, throwing stuff. They're mad, you know. Then they mess with the food.
Yes. So he puts the order in. They mess with the food.
Yeah.
Off the rip. Yo, like, oh, the steak.
Drop it on the floor.
It flops on the floor.
Yeah.
Picks it up. Drops it back on the floor. Then throws it on the grill. He goes, put a little more extra seasoning on this.
He goes, floor spice makes everything nice. So, hey, listen, when I see a restaurant's closing at 11 and I'm there at like 10:30, I ask them. I say, hey, is it all right if you know, we'll be quick, you can drop the check, whatever. But past the half hour?
Oh, half hour, yo.
I'm not doing it.
You can't. I'm afraid.
I'm not doing it.
I'm afraid legit.
Please don't mess with my food.
Yes.
But I'm so hungry.
I'm so
Yeah, so 3 minutes before close, he has to deal with the very person that his mom was
trying to compare him to. Or
yes, and so everybody else is leaving for the party.
Everybody else is gone. They're going to the party.
The kitchen staff, they made the food. They're out.
They bounce.
See you later, yep. Dean.
Yeah.
Right?
He's Dolo Pacino at this point.
Exactly. Hostess is gone. He's closing. So it's just him and the manager. Chet pays for the check. And he leaves him. He's like, it's good to catch up with you. Blah, yeah. blah, blah, blah. Yeah, dude. My mom did. Oh, I heard you still work here or whatever the case may be. Leaves him 70 on 30.
It was $31 check. Bill. Gave him $100 bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, this must be a mistake. So he runs to the door,
says, hey, you know, this must be a mistake. You know, think, you know, like.
Yeah, he chases down a customer for the second time in the day.
In the same night, or whatever.
Same shift.
Yeah.
To return the tip.
Exactly.
And he gets the.
So he goes to the guest and he goes, hey, you know, you must have, you know, this there must be a mistake here. You know, you left X amount of dollars or whatever. And the customer, who's Chet, looks Dean dead in the eye and goes, you obviously need it more than I do.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, you're all set.
Yeah, he goes, no, I'm all good, yeah. He goes, and you obviously need more than I do. And then kind of, and then leaves.
The very phrase that he told the other guy who gave him
a horrible tip. Yeah. Yes.
So that cut him deep.
Yes, it did.
Now he has to go talk to the manager. Dan, is it?
Yes.
And so Dan's like, hey, have you given much thought? And they kind of cut to the party.
Yeah.
Right? So they you know, they leave us waiting. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Boom. Huh? I like that.
To see what happens. So now it's like back at the party.
Everybody's in. They're smoking, having a great time.
Drinking.
Exactly.
You know?
Nice, awesome house party. You're there with your people. Your shift is over. The great thing about being in a restaurant is you can leave all that stuff that happened in the restaurant at the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Now you can enjoy life.
Yeah. So there are people there that work there that don't work there. Some guests were there.
People are having a great
time.
The
host is there. Monty starts to bed her a little bit.
Exactly.
And he grows a conscience.
Oh yeah.
And he says, "Hey, why don't we just
wait till you're 18?"
Yeah.
Like, they're about to get all in.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting hot and heavy, and then he pushes the brakes.
Yes. And so Monty shows up after his shift, and he's like, "Hey, what happened? Did you you know?" And so Bishop's there, straight chilling.
Yep.
And he's like, oh. He tells Bishop, hey, I created my own penis showing game. He's like, oh, so you quit your job.
Boom.
He's like, how'd you know? He's like, come on, man. Come on, buddy. So he puts a nice little bow on it. He decides to quit. He wanted to, you know, blaze a different path.
Trap. Yeah, exactly.
And so Monty grows a conscience. And so the girl, the host, the young host that the manager was hitting on, wanted to meet her up at the party.
Yeah.
And she ends up giving him the wrong address.
That was dope.
She gave him the address to the mean guy. That,
from earlier, the Dean had waiting on. They had to give him the horrible tip.
True. True.
He goes, are you here to give me my, was it gift certificates?
So the movie ends where we don't really hear from, I mean, the third character. You haven't
heard the Training Day character talk the entire movie.
Yeah, last we really mentioned him was when he was watching the training videos when it was busy.
Exactly.
Now he's at the party and he starts leaning at everybody. You guys are crazy.
He starts to talk and he gives it to them.
Yeah.
He tells them they are a bunch of degenerates.
Yep.
He's like, and then he just individually lays it in on everybody.
Yep.
And then as they're all shocked, he points at Dan Cook and he's like, and you, you're the worst of them all. And then they all look at Dan Cook. He flips over and gives him, I forgot what it was called.
The bat wing. The goat. Yeah.
Bends over and gives them all the goat, okay?
Which is the pinnacle of the penis showing game.
Drops and he drops the mic on him.
Yes.
And they turn back over and he got them all. And then Monty runs outside. He goes, hey, man, I'm sorry. We love you. You're my guy. Come back in, okay? And then he kind of introduces him as Justin Long's replacement, and that's where the movie kind of ends. The party goes on.
So let's kind of put this in a bow, right? What do you rate the movie as far as a restaurant movie?
As far as a restaurant movie goes, it's an 8 for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What about as far as a movie?
It's a 6 movie.
Okay.
But I like it. It's a strong 8 because I work in a restaurant. You know what I mean? And I can relate to everything that's going on. But as I'm also a movie person. So as far as movies go, it's still a six, but it's a comedy. You know what I mean? It's not supposed to be way up there with, when my movies are epic movies, you know, that hit that pinnacle for me.
True. I really think there's still a room for a solid restaurant movie.
Yes, there definitely can.
You know?
Yeah.
There really is one that really hits all the notes for all everybody. All the notes, exactly. Like that. For me, I would give it, as far as a restaurant movie, I'd give it a 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a bunch of things I didn't like. I didn't really care for how much time everybody had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's like, it didn't seem realistic. And nothing's realistic in movies, right? But it didn't seem plausible that they would have this much time to, even when they talk, they were chilling talking.
Yeah, like they in Slam and Salmon, you saw the difference between, remember we talked about it, and you saw the open, you saw the downtime, you saw the busyness,
yeah,
and then you saw the close.
Yes.
And I felt like you saw...
There's different tempos.
Exactly, the different tempos and the breakdown of a real
restaurant.
This
had one tempo the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
Even though
they were chilling, even when they weren't.
Yeah, even when they were supposed to be busy...
They were chilling.
Yeah. They had like a very relaxed tone, and that's just not plausible.
No, exactly.
You know? It's just not plausible. So, but as a movie, you know, I give it a... It doesn't have to me... My movies don't really have to hit 9s and 10s.
True.
You know?
Yeah, no.
So as a movie, I give it a 6.
Yeah, I mean, I love 6 movies.
But
I don't mind 6. I watch 6 movies
all the
time.
If it hits a 6, I'm pressing play.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because Hollywood ain't full of blockbusters and everything. It is. You're dealing with more 3s than you are 6s and 7s.
Yeah, if you're waiting for a 7, you'll be waiting for a long time.
Yep.
When I look at IMDb and you know, strolling through things if I want to watch or not, for me, if it hits like a 6, that's
a movie. It's a movie.
It
means it had a decent budget. You know, you usually you're not looking at something like that gets you sick when you're watching it.
Yeah.
It has five and a halfs and up. It has a plot.
Yeah.
It's a solid overall. You know
five
what I mean?
And a halfs and up. If it's a 4 something, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
5 and a halfs, I'm in. So yeah, Waiting's very very important movie for restaurant movies.
Absolutely.
Go. So I like the idea of adding on. Maybe we'll do Cocktail next.
Yeah, I dig that.
Where was that other one you said that was a bartending movie?
Oh, Coyote Ugly.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean that's more of a story. But
I think
Cocktail would be better. Is a better.
It's but does that qualify as a bartending movie necessarily as much as he was just a bartender and we're doing it.
Yeah, no, Cocktails definitely.
We're doing it.
Because it goes across the whole board.
Yeah.
It shows him, we'll talk about it. I'm not even going to give the movie away.
That's true. Tune in.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Next week, we have our 100th episode.
Boom.
Coming up.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone. We do this every week for you. I'm Norland Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVilla. And subscribe, people.
See you next time.
Later.
Life is like a movie that was never recorded. A bunch of B-footage, musical with no chorus. Created by God. Starring yours truly, directed by moms. Pops did editing. Casting by the streets. Wardrobe, hip-hop beats. Hair and makeup, magazines and TV. Screenwriters and producers are the hustlers, beat. While the unknown follies make the sounds of the streets. Storyboard from birth till I cease to breathe. Make the climax scene before the